Fool's Day is on. Take me somewhere I can be alone.
I've been waiting for the next show.
Now it's the new year, and it's finally the day. It's a love story. Baby, just press play.
The last bit was great.
Don't hate on my interpretation of Taylor Swift.
I mean,
we can't all be Taylor.
We can't all
interpret. We can all dream, though.
We shouldn't just not interpret greatness, then. All
right. Okay, welcome to Tools Day.
Welcome to Tools Day.
A podcast
that was a horrible song.
It wasn't that bad.
I think you're going to hear the recording.
Oh, should we re-record?
No, let's move on. We've come too far at this point.
Darn it. Okay, welcome to Tools Day.
Welcome.
A podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on
and that
Tuesdays at 2.
Although that song is great. We love Taylor Swift.
I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today's topic is React.
React.
React.js.
My favorite new framework. Not new anymore. My favorite current.
It's a framework.
My favorite current. Currently my favorite framework.
Okay, that's a way to put it, but that's not what you said at first.
Okay, well.
It's fine. Okay, so since it's your currently new favorite framework, what is it?
What is React?
What is React?
So if we're thinking about the standard model view client methodology of building apps, React is the view layer. It's the presentation layer for an application. So it's like it's what the user will see as they see an app. It's not the database. It's not the model, as they say, or how the data flows or the data structure. It is purely consumption of the data and presenting it to the user.
That is literally what the website says.
Is it really?
Many people choose to think of React as the V in MVC, which is
that's what it is. So.
Yeah, it brings in this concept of the virtual DOM, and it allows you to create changes that dynamically update your page with only changing the component that you have edited. And I think that is sort of like the basis behind the architecture of React.
Right. So React is very, very component heavy. Conceptually, everything becomes a component. This is not too different than a lot of the current frameworks right now. Like Angular 2.0 is coming right now, is also very component heavy.
Which is completely different than the first version.
True, but even Angular 1.x had its own version of components called directives. But React kind of was the next step on this line and was also much faster than Angular was at the time. So
that's definitely a big trend in development, especially web development right now, making everything very modular and componentized.
And fast.
And fast. Like, speed has always been a huge concern. That's always something that people are trying to push forward. So that is really some of the strengths in React. It was created by Facebook. I think we forgot to mention that. So it was based on a huge application that tons of people use every day to solve their problems. But it's since been ported out as a good solution for a variety of applications.
Yeah. I think Netflix is kind of the big example of this. React and Netflix kind of app structure called Falcor power the entire web UI for Netflix. And it's one of the slickest UIs I've ever seen.
Netflix UI is really nice. I don't use Netflix that much. I might be like the only person in the world who doesn't Netflix.
She was looking at me very confused. And so I was like, how can you be confused? This is Netflix. We are all 20-somethings.
I know what Netflix is. I've seen it. I've used it. I have an account.
I know what Netflix is. Wow. you get a gold star for that one.
I just don't watch TV. It's fine.
Well.
but yeah, how long have you been using React?
I'm fairly new to it. It's about 8-ish months for me, six to eight months. Mm-hmm. I was very heavily in the Angular train, and so when React came...
And you jumped off.
I did jump off, just like the rest of...
And onto the React train.
I did. But when React first came onto my line of sight about a year and a half ago, I was like, nah, you know, Angular is so big. Why would anyone swap to React? And then the advantages of speed and the whole component model became very clear to a lot of people. And so
when I first heard React, it was introduced to me as writing CSS and JavaScript. And instantly I was like, this is a terrible idea. Separation concerns, rah, rah, rah. But since then, people, I think, dropped the whole fight for CSS and JavaScript as much and focused on the actual benefits of React, which is the virtual DOM layer, like the speed and performance aspects. And I, at first, was very hesitant to try it. But then I used it in a product here about 3 months ago, like just a prototype that we were building. And since then, I really liked it because I didn't have to do all of those like weird CSS and JS things. I wrote SAS the way that I wrote it. I wrote it in like a modular approach the way that I did it. But then the components and structure of React were there to build the app on.
Yeah, and one of my favorite parts of React is JSX. And JSX is React's kind of XML layer for you to kind of drop in logic inside your HTML. And in React, your HTML lives within your JavaScript files, which is kind of a strange thing for a lot of people, like maybe like you, who are used to, you know, having your HTML in a separate file, your JS separate file, and your CSS in a separate file. React brings it all into one thing. And React's argument for this is that while there should be separate concerns or separation of concerns, these two things are so tightly coupled that it only makes sense that they live in one file. And once you get used to writing code that way, it becomes actually very strange for your code to be any other way.
I don't mind as much with the final product. It just felt very much like the first way it was introduced was you must write CSS in this way, yeah, in these brackets, and write it in a way that doesn't conflict with JavaScript already.
Right. Right. So there are a couple of weird things you have to do with JSX, right? So things like a class, the word class.
Class name, right.
Class name. So it's using the actual HTML element name for it, not the ones that we know and love. So class and class name is the big one. But like HTML, like form elements, for example, all have slightly different names.
Yeah, so you have to like close all your tags. There's just a couple of small things here and there.
It's XML, not HTML. So.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with that. And I recently started to revisit React, but this time I wanted to learn it from the ground up and just build an app on my own, which was a completely different experience than working within one that was already set up.
All right, yeah. So what were your pain points?
Oh my gosh.
So many?
Still going through them. I really like the concept of React, but I feel like it's still really hard to just pick up. I don't think there's a lot of really good resources for people who are just beginning to work with it.
Yeah.
It's a little heavy. There's a bit of expectation there.
Yeah.
Especially with the terminology and the vernacular behind React.
Yeah. And I think, when I first started learning React, this was 8-10 months ago, the learning curve in the beginning was not nearly as high as it is now. Now with ES6 being kind of the core part of React and 0.14 and above and onwards, or 0.13 and onwards, where you now have these ES6 classes replacing the React class that was there prior. Now you have to have Webpack definitely. Now you have to have Babel definitely.
Right, and it's very tied with that.
Yeah, and there's all this tooling around it that when I was doing it, you didn't have. You just dropped these three files into your index file. There was a JSX transpiler inside the browser, which was bad to do, but it was great for beginning out new people like me.
Yeah, so I was looking at React starter environments because obviously this is a problem.
Oh, my goodness.
And people need a starter environment.
They're mind-blowing. So go ahead, sorry.
So I was looking, and there was over 300 or 400 options. There was a website to help you pick one out, and they all were like, they had Flux or different types of Flux, like WeFlux, Redux. What are all these things I don't need?
I've actually not seen a React starter project that is just React.
It doesn't
Webpack,
exist.
Webpack, Babel. I mean,
you need to have Babel, you need to have Browserify or something like that to make it work. So you can use Gulp if you use Browserify.
Right.
Or you could have Webpack.
Yeah.
But that takes a lot of sort of effort to set up as well. And it's not easy to understand the base architecture behind that when you're trying to just get a project up and going and there's all these dependencies that you've never worked with before.
Yeah. That and the documentation for all these tools
is so separated.
Bad.
It's so segregated.
It's separate and bad. Like the document for Webpack, I think we've talked about this before, is horrible.
It's a struggle bus. It was so bad that I was trying to use a starter that was using Webpack, and I wanted to change one little thing to make it more suited to my environment. Like, I like writing my developer environments. I like knowing where everything is.
Right.
I ended up just foregoing Webpack and going the Gulp Browserify way because I was just frustrated. And then I think that's why people are having so much trouble getting started with it. It's like you need to be able to set up a project in order to build with it.
Right.
And if the setup is the hard part, when are you going to get to the building part?
Yeah. And so I saw a list. I think Dan Abramov, the guy who wrote Redux, just tweeted out somebody else's post about this of the list of technologies you have to know React. And it's just kind of long at this point. You know, you start off with, oh, yes, you need to know JavaScript. Obviously, this is a JS framework. Then you need an NPM, which is, you know, reasonable. But then it just gets into all this other stuff. And if you're just beginning, beginning JavaScript, beginning building apps, it is super hard to get into. And I would almost not recommend React because of that, because tooling is hard for people. I find this out every time I talk about Gulp or something like that. For me, I've been using Gulp and Grunt for 4 or 5 years, so I forget that it's kind of a strange concept for a lot of people, and wrapping...
I think that tooling is very freeing, and that's why I really like using Gulp, and I like understanding what's going on in that sense. With React, because the tooling is so heavy, and you don't know what you need dependencies for.
Right.
Like, you're not sure what you might... what might be like a better solution out there.
Yeah.
That's what makes it really difficult for me to get started with.
And especially because the tooling recommended by all these startup projects is so intense, like you said. Like, you have, if you're using Redux, if you have Redux dev tools on top of Redux load monitors and web monitors, and then you have to have React hot loading because that's what everyone says you should have. And you're doing all these things because everyone says they you should have them. And once you get them working, they are wonderful. But I grappled with, like, I love tooling. I've done a lot of tools. This show's about tools. and I think of myself as good with tools. But it took me a fair amount of time to set up a complete Redux structure and all the tooling around it. And I'm not an expert in everything, but I'm pretty good at tools. And I can imagine if it's hard for me, it's going to be hard for someone who doesn't spend all their time with tools. So
I think the one thing that was kind of giving me some hangups recently, most recently, was state and like this and how you that is bound with React components. But when you change that into classes, and you're using ES6 classes, it doesn't bind the same way anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to use AutoBind, but AutoBind is it's a way to just make it easier. But AutoBind requires another dependency, another dependency that you wouldn't know about if you didn't know how to search for the solution for this in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, this is kind of really complicated between versions. Like, even like Babel 5 did certain things, Babel 6 does other things.
Yeah. And so, you know, React is bleeding edge, right?
Yes.
A lot of things are React are bleeding edge. And so I think some of these hiccups are expected with the bleeding edge, especially because Babel also just released a new update about a month ago, Babel 6,
right?
Which was a major restructure.
Which is why it's also really difficult to have started this 2 weeks ago, because I'm not finding any documentation on it. And the documentation I find is broken. I don't know if it's React, if it's me, or if it's like the new Babel versions. Like,
right. It's a confusing time in the React ecosystem right now. On top of that, you have Flux and Redux, which are both also
very... And there's Reflux.
And Reflux. So Flux is Facebook's application architecture idea, essentially. So in the beginning of this, we talked about MVC, and that's kind of the legacy or the core app structure that people have been using for, you know, decades, a model view controller. And Facebook said, hey, in a web atmosphere, this kind of bidirectional flow between views and controllers is confusing and not relevant for how apps are structured today. Let's make a new thing called Flux, and it promotes this kind of new concept called unidirectional flow. It's very hard to talk about vocally like this, so we'll link some resources about Flux in the show notes. But all in all, Flux makes a lot of sense. Theoretically, but implementing it is hard because you have all these various versions of Flux, and people saying, oh, you know, use this version of Flux, use that version of Flux, and, you know, Redux is the one that a lot of people settled on, but even Redux, you know, takes some time to spin up and get your mind around, because it's kind of a twist around Flux, and so it changes some of the core concepts of Flux does. So...
yeah.
There's just a lot to take in.
I think that what's happening right now is the people who are working on React and working with these technologies are the ones who are ideating on the architecture and Flux and all that, but they're making a lot of assumptions about previous knowledge
right.
in the JavaScript community that I think is missing right now. There's a gap between a very well set up project
yeah.
that's like architected well, but how do you get started with it? And like super beginner, what right. is React core? Like yeah. we've just moved away from that so quickly
right.
that I don't think we've been able to grasp the core concepts
right.
yet.
I think there's a definite lack of beginner friendly content for React. This is something that Angular did really well. They had a lot of people build these beginner projects and people get in.
Angular was really easy to pick up.
It was super easy to pick up. And React is kind of missing these starter projects that you can just jump in and go. I learned my first big leap forward with React was when I watched Ryan Florence's talk on Frontend Masters about React. But even that was semi-complicated because it incorporated ES6 into it. And at the time, I wasn't very comfortable with ES6.
And that might be part of it, that all of the tutorials are all using ES6 and all just expecting knowledge with it. And I think that people are currently still trying to catch up and learn ES6
right.
and how to use it and implement it.
Yeah.
And if you're trying to learn a whole new architecture as right. well as a new
syntax
and, yeah. you're going to miss some things and right. never really grasp full concepts
yeah.
either.
Yeah, and I've heard like the hard part of React is JavaScript, which is kind of fair. There's a lot of like the binding concept you're talking about is a core JavaScript concept that a lot of people don't grasp because you never use it on a day-to-day life as a front-end dev who maybe don't deal with app structures and you're not tossing around context all the time.
Well, I think that in this case that I am mentioning this, the reason why I was having trouble with it is because this had changed
right.
four times
yeah.
in my timeline of learning React like
oh,
in the
right.
past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like what this was and how it was bound had changed
yeah.
based on versions.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And so like...
Struggle bus.
The struggle bus is real.
Oh, man.
Ugh.
But I firmly believe that it just takes the work to sit there and struggle through it
and
go through that.
One of these things is that this is all hard and this all takes time. But there is the kind of the counter argument that all these things are hard because they work really well, but they are complicated. But once you get them, they work really well.
And when it's set up, it's lovely. Like
yeah.
I loved working within a React project. I thought it was really well architected for what I needed to communicate
yeah.
to the browser with. It's just the getting there.
Yeah. And that's hard. Man.
So how can we improve? Like, I want the show to be about
how
do we make this better? Because I know that we're not the only two who have this
Over the last month, there's this big explosion on Twitter about this, actually. I'll need to go find the links for this. But, you know, I think the hard answer is that you improve by doing it. You have to build apps with React and
yeah.
kind of plow your head against it until it makes sense. It's one of these things that you need practice and time.
I think as people start to use it more, there will be more resources.
Yep.
There will be more resources that people with various backgrounds can understand better.
Right. I think this conversation will be much different in a year when like ES6, ES 2015 or ES 6.
ES 2016 now.
Yeah, sorry. Once ES 2015 or 6 or whatever is familiar to everybody and it's no longer an additional, you know, jump of knowledge. It'll be much easier to grok React as well. When I was doing it initially, I was doing ES5 React because this was before the React spun off its component level or class level component.
But you can't even write it with.
You still can. You still can. And right now, you can actually write React right now all with ES5 if you wanted to.
But is it the latest version?
Yeah, even the latest version, you don't have to use ES6. It's an option you can use. But all the tutorials are in ES6 now. I think most documentation on React's homepage is in ES6 now. And it makes sense that you're using ES6. ES6 brings you a lot of great syntax sugar, a lot of great developer friendly tools. But again, there's that burden of knowledge that you need to jump over first.
Yeah. But I'm pretty optimistic that next year, or within this coming year, more resources will come out. One that I really, really liked is I went through Wes Boss's React for Beginners tutorials.
I actually met Wes Boss
I did too.
3 years ago. Is it the same conference I went to? I've talked about this conference multiple times with Paul Irish, Adi Osmani, Wes Boss.
You were just like fanboying all over the place.
Well, I didn't know who any of these people were at the time. I was just this noob. And I was like, I was actually in line talking to Wes Boss, and I think he expected that I would know who he was, but I had no idea because I was not so intelligent back then. And so later on, I was like, oh, he's somebody I should probably know.
And yeah, so he's a really nice guy, and I really liked his...
very Canadian.
Very Canadian.
From my recollection.
But the course that he does, it's a really good pace. It starts in ES5 and transitions to ES6. So yeah. There's that.
So it's what's it called again?
It's called React for Beginners.
Okay.
And
great.
It is the only resource that I found that breaks it down. There's a new Egghead course.
I have another one for you. On Egghead,
yeah.
There's a lot of Egghead courses on React. And if you're new to React, Wes Boss is a great resource. Egghead is another one. Egghead has a couple courses. One that I definitely recommend is Your First React App. And like that course you're talking about, it begins in ES5 and then transitions to ES 2015. It also uses React Router. This is Wes Boss's course. Okay, great. React Router is something that once you build a React app, you quickly realize that you need all these other things in the React ecosystem as well, as we've been talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the issues.
Yeah,
it's probably the issue.
And well, this is because React is just the view layer, as we began this with. It's not like Angular, which has the whole app in there. You need additional things, one of them being React Router if you want client-side routing, which most people who build React apps do. It goes over React Router, and he just updated it to the latest React Router version, which is another issue with the React ecosystem is that all the dependencies also get updated very fast, like React Router. React Router just went from like their pre 1.0 to 1.0 to 2.0 in like a month. 1.0 to 2.0 was like a month differential, and then 3.0, which is coming out sometime in the future, will deprecate 1.0 syntax. So it's just keeping up with everything is just this mind meld. Anyways, that was the entire rest of this conference.
I've noticed. it's exciting when you get things working, but again, the frustrating part to me was just how quickly things change, even in between starter environments. Projects.
Right.
And that's totally fair. It's all in flux right now.
Flux. Got him.
But see, at least that was good. The song wasn't good.
Yeah, the song was awful.
But what I would really like to see, and maybe hopefully come out of this conversation, is more of those resources.
Yep.
Just people sharing your experience, sharing your apps, sharing more just like intro, starter, beginner, DIY.
Yeah, one thing I saw followed on Twitter, which I am behind, is React kind of endorsing an installer project to get the official React seal on it, just so that people can all look at one starter project that they know is the correct way, or is a correct way. I know there are many correct ways to do React, but is a correct way they can rely on and trust as a good jumping point.
And keep it updated.
Because
all the dependencies, 5 months old, you don't know if that's reliable anymore.
Yeah. Ember, the Ember people love saying, Ember has Ember CLI, which does a lot of these things for you. Angular has its own thing as well. And
we'll have a show on Ember coming up.
We do, yeah.
That definitely is the biggest advantage for Ember. It's the consistency. And Rails, too. That's why people love Rails.
Right. There's the whole convention thing.
Yeah.
People love conventions. And
I mean, when you're working in a team, that's really important.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to start up learning something, that's important. So... yeah.
Anyway, this was just our rant session, apparently.
Well, it didn't need to be a rant. I wanted to discuss the current environment, and everyone's been talking so optimistically and positively about React that I feel like a lot of people have these thoughts, but they're not conveying them because they don't want to be the one that comes out to say, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Let's
simmer down.
Figure out what's happening together. And there's some great people who are working on React, and there are people who are building with it, and hopefully that community grows.
Yeah.
I think the ideas are there. I think that it could It just takes time.
I mean, the React community is massive right now.
It's massive, but but I feel like those people are all sort of in the same place.
Yeah, it's a lot of people with a lot of, well,
the best way to grow a technical community is to introduce it to people who aren't in the same technical community as you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Anyways, good talk.
I had a thing to say, but I totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, man.
Wow. Well,
cut that out.
Cut the feed. Clip.
Okay, thanks. I don't know. I think we should end it.
I'm cutting it. Cut the feed.
Okay.